On 6PR Breakfast, it's time for sport with Kim Hagdon.
Let's hear it.
There it is.
Kim Hagdon, everybody. Haggers, again, a standing ovation for you, and you're not
that's,
even here.
That's the theme that we didn't have just before 7 o'clock that that's our listeners were looking for.
But he heard it now in the car.
On the way home, yeah. You kicked him out.
Let's start with the Scorchers. I saw the lights ablaze last night. They're up late.
Yeah, look, there's a bit of mixed news, I suppose, out of the Scorchers. I suppose if we start with a bit of a concern is that Mitch Marsh and Ashton Agar now are in races against time to be fit, so to use that cliche. But we saw Ashton Agar injure his calf on Wednesday evening playing for Australia. Indications are that it's at least a two-week injury. Now, that takes Ashton Agar's race into when the Scorchers have probably started their first game is tomorrow fortnight. So it's next Saturday. It's tomorrow week, the 12th. So Ashton Agar misses that and then probably misses the first couple of games. So too with Mitch Marsh. He's in a bit of a race to play next week. Didn't play. Mitch didn't play in a scratch match at the WACA last night that you've referred to, Millsy. But the good news out of that, I reckon all West Australian sports fans will be enthused with this because the likes of Jai Richardson, Jason Berendorf, who've come off horrendous injury problems and big operations and recovery programs, and also Joel Parris have bowled brilliantly last night in that they bowled their four overs each, all taking a couple of wickets. But again, also a backup pace man, he's in WA and into the Scorchers for the first time, is Cam Gannon. Now, he's knocked over our top order, Millsy. Cam Gannon played for the second team and knocked over the likes of Josh Inglis and Sam Whiteman and Cam Bancroft. They were all back in the hutch very early. And we're also looking up at the lights like you were. So a bit of mixed news out of the Scorchers at practice match last night. They hit the road early next week to go to Tassie for the hub there for the start of the Big Bash. It actually kicks off next Thursday and the Scorchers' first game on the Saturday.
So you said Cam Gannon. He's no relation to Sam Gannon.
No, Cam Gannon's a Queenslander. Terrific fella, big, tall, strapping. He's not strapping so much. He's a lean sort of a pace bowler. He's from Queensland. He led the Sheffield Shield wicket-taking last summer, and the WA camp pounced on Cam Gannon to get him here on a three-year contract. He was a bit of a borderline candidate to be in the Scorchers' final squad, Millsy, but he's won a contract. He's in that squad, so he's more of a backup bowler. He's handy with the bat as well. He's quite a pinch-hitting, big hitter. Right. So, but if you get your best strength up, the likes of Richardson, Berendorf and Joel Parris are probably going to lead you. And Andrew Tighe as well. That's going to lead the Scorchers attack, I think. So Cam's in the backup group. So, but he's absolutely no relation to Sam Gannon. Sam Gannon, the great of the 70s, terrific 60s player. And 70s, and played for Australia as well. So no relation.
T20s.
That's on today. I suppose we're watching that. Some injury troubles there. Sounding again a bit like a medical report, aren't we, Millsy? Does Mitchell Stark play? I'm led to believe he's okay, which is staggering that if he had back and ribs troubles for Wednesday's game, he's back again today. Maybe not quite as bad as we first thought, or whether there was something else there. Marcus Stoinis, not sure that he's going to be back. Whether Matthew Wade gets a call up to fill in at the T20 level for David Warner, or does our own boy Darcy Short get that? So I think that's one to keep an eye on. I don't like that all this white ball cricket so close to the Test series. It cannot possibly, Millsy, be the ideal preparation for a Test series that Australia need to win, want to win, beat India. That first Test, it's now only a fortnight away. Yesterday it would have started, Thursday on the 17th of December, and they're playing white ball cricket. So Steve Smith, Mitchell Stark, Josh Hazlewood, Marnus Labuschagne, all playing white ball cricket instead of Test match cricket, and the likes of Burns, Pekowski, Payne, Head, Lyon, Wade and Warner injured. It's not the most ideal lead up to a Test series, but it is what modern day cricket's about, I guess.
Now, Willie Rioli, he's been in the news this week where his cousin was writing about him. What's the latest with Willie?
The best I can do, and the reason I've sort of tried to get a bit more of a latest on this, is because we followed it pretty closely. I think the entire state, the entire AFL industry, and I think even the sporting industry are following this, because I think we all agree it's just a disgrace that he's had to wait now something like 15, nearly 16 months to get a hearing on what sort of a ban he faces from his ASADA drug test, sort of adverse drug test. One, two, he's facing a tampering with a sample and traces of cannabis. And they were back in August and September of last year. The only thing I can guarantee is that the hearing will be held before December 18. So I'm told, so that means in the next fortnight, we're going to get a hearing and then a finding, hopefully, as soon as we can after that on Willie Rioli, because the AFL has told, I understand, West Coast that there will be a hearing within a fortnight. Now, this was as late as yesterday. Now, we followed it closely, and I reckon we get calls here regularly from your listeners, Millsy, everyone's listeners at 882-6PR. Well, do you know any more on Willie Rioli? So I thought, well, before we go to a break, we'll try to get some latest. We're guaranteed it's going to happen within the next fortnight.
What about fortnight. The fixtures, mate? Where are the AFL fixtures?
Yeah, AFL clubs right around the competition are really pressing league headquarters, Millsy, to at least confirm the first two rounds for next year. The AFL said, I think it's a fortnight ago now, that March 18, that Thursday, March 18th, would be the starting date. That's their plan. Of course, everything's a bit fluid, to use that expression, relating to COVID. They don't absolutely know. But the plan is for round one to start on March 18 of next season, next year. All the AFL clubs, particularly the chief executives and all their business managers, are saying, for God's sake, give us something firmer than just a date. Give us a set of fixtures. The first two, preferably first four rounds, because they believe that it would be something that all the fans, all the faithful that are staying close to the AFL, deserve to have some degree of planning. And also the clubs want to try and sell some of their commercial side of their club for rounds, at least one and two, I think the clubs are saying, preferably about four. And it would be something positive from the AFL, the clubs believe, to give us something there. And just on that as well, talking about funding and money and the commercial side of it, I'm really reliably led to believe that clubs, and it's coming from the coaches, are saying to the AFL, you can't expect, after having a pretty successful sort of survival year out of COVID, and not many clubs actually losing a heck of a lot of money because they got a season up, don't cut the spending to your football departments. You know, there was talk to drop it from about 10 million back to about 7 million or 9.7 back to 6.2. Coaches are saying to the AFL and to their respective clubs, that's not fair, that's not right. It's too big a cut. And because the clubs had a successful year, the AFL had a pretty good year in surviving through the COVID year. They don't believe the cut should be as big. So there's quite a bit of action behind the scenes between the clubs and the AFL.
Hags, bit of racing, bit of pacing news. Hags is with us. Crowd large. Expectation 23 still in the draw. Willie Pike might have a big day tomorrow.
Well, Haggers, he's been nominated for Sports Star of the Year, and rightly so, but he finishes the Masters tomorrow with the Kingston Town, which he should win on Inspirational Girl.
And he won a fortnight ago, didn't he, on that?
That's right. He's got eight rides tomorrow. He doesn't have a ride in race two. And the tipsters have tipped him on top in every single ride. So he could actually ride 8 out of 8 tomorrow if he actually has a great day, which is a bad day for bookmakers.
Well, I was going to say, you're the bookie. Can he win the 8?
No.
Surely not.
I'll take him on. I'll take him on throughout the day. I think Inspirational Girl will be hard to beat. We threw one out last week, Valor Road, in the Winter Bottom. It's going around in the Scale Stakes. Have a look at the replay of Valor Road. It had no luck. We got pole waxed over the fence. That's my best bet tomorrow. I think you'll get very good each way value.
Dom to press in the Kingston Town as well. And my old mate Greg Bond, he had five starters in tonight's pacing cup. One got scratched. He's only got four. Surely he has to win it. Bull probably wins out though, doesn't it, Millsy? That's the clear favourite.
The Bull wins. Bull wins.
Hags, thanks for a great week.